I'm really excited to speak to our guests, good friends of mine. I've known them for going on 11 years. I remember when I first met Dr. and Mrs. Future about 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was just blown away by the stuff they knew about technology, but not just technology, but how technology is relevant, how technology is associated with the mind, how technology is associated with our body, how technology is associated with the culture, how it's all links together. Dr. and Mrs. Future have been hosting the Dr. and Mrs. Future show for 11 years now, where they talk about high-tech breakthroughs and as well as the evolution of consciousness, which is really what I love talking about with the Futures. Dr. Future, a.k.a. Al Lundell, was the first West Coast editor of Byte Magazine, B-Y-T-E, that is. And he and Mrs. Future are right there in the belly of the beast of technocracy and technology, the Silicon Valley. Please welcome to the Bright Side, Dr. and Mrs. Future. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good morning.
Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, great to talk to you. I've been wanting to get you on the program for a long time. I'm just going to cut right to the chase here, okay?
Sure.
Technology has a bad rap, technocracy and the abuse of technology. But one of the things I loved about you guys from the minute I met you is that you see the really beautiful side of technology. And there is a beautiful side to technology. Technology just meaning tools, the science of how to use tools, but advanced technology, advanced tools. You really have a passion and a love for all things that have to do with these kinds of information tools, if you will, because ultimately everything is information.
Yeah.
So how do you balance this out with the potential abuse of technology, with the really amazing, mind-blowing things that technology can bring us?
The thing is about technology, as you mentioned, it's a tool. It's a two-edged sword. It can go either way. So it really depends on your awareness, on your consciousness, and how you wield those tools. You know, that's the important thing. And we try to look at how it can evolve us in a good way. And it's very powerful in that it can destroy us, but it can also bring us into a more evolved awareness.
Yeah, and you know, technology is part of human evolution, is part of the evolution of life. It's not separate. And so, like everything in the creative force, we fill it with our intentions. And so it's very important to fill it with the intentions of the greatness that we can achieve, because nature made us to extend nature's grasp. We do that with our intelligence.
Well, so would you say that technology has to have the right context for it to be a force for good? It has to occur within the right context, the right mental or consciousness context?
Well, I say intention, so you could call that a mental context, but we have to ask technology to do things that are wonderful. And we're from the Think Different generation, where we really saw the world take off with all the new possibilities of being connected in a way that we never were before, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if we're not ready mentally or through consciousness, or advanced enough mentally or through consciousness, and we still have the ability to work with technology, can't that be dangerous?
Well, I would say that we have, everything goes in cycles, and we are in the labor pains of birthing the next era of our society. So we have to figure out how to deal with the negative undercurrents of the troll culture that we currently find ourselves in. But I think we're going to transcend it, because there is a lot more power in joy, optimism, creativity, togetherness.
Way more fun. Yeah.
We're going to win the war,
Patricia. Way more fun, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not leveraging fun.
No,
we're not taking advantage of the fun aspect of things, right?
Yes, that's
we're,
right.
We're so stuck in our survival brain.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The amygdala. We're stuck in the amygdala when there are so many more amazing things we can do. That's right.
And right. The fun is in creativity and imagination and play, which are not part of the survival, not in the world of the amygdala.
That's right. And yet they have to coexist with the amygdala. You know, we've got to be the full human here.
Yeah, we probably need to evolve into a society that doesn't capitalize on fear and manipulation. Yeah. And we have to capitalize on generosity, human potential, actualization. Mm-hmm. You know, we really need to prioritize different qualities of who we are as humans.
Yeah, we're far more than brainstem theater.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking of when, like a few years ago, Dr. Future, remember you were walking around with those Google glasses?
Yes.
When they first came out. And so to me, with that was cool in itself, but there's a metaphor there, and that's how you see the world. You see the world, you, Dr. Future, mm-hmm. and Mrs. Future, you guys see the world through the lens of technology.
Well, it's certainly a big part of it. Yeah.
Because you're positive people, you see the positive things that can happen with it.
We can. And at the same time, you know, the Bay Area where we live is also a cauldron for understanding human nature itself. When I met Mrs. Future, for example, she had been in a community in San Francisco that had been exploring new lifestyles and understanding relationships.
Yeah, we called it culture sculpture. And life is art.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Culture sculpture. That is awesome. Because that's what we want to do. We want to consciously sculpt our culture, and we want to consciously sculpt our lives, I believe. And that's kind of interesting how you said that about San Francisco and about Bayer, because there's kind of like, there's a sort of two opposite ways of life that are parallel. They're opposite, but they're together in a way. And that's the honoring of the body and honoring of the physical world, as well as the honoring of the mental world and of ideas. And it's kind of like a cool little melding that you have out there. And you guys live that way, too.
We do. We have a stationary bike, and we put on our VR goggles, and we go and take a virtual bike tour of Yosemite on our stationary bike.
In VR.
Yeah. VR is very useful for mind-body connectivity. When you use it in that context, you know, you can use it to become just a blob of protoplasm if you wanted to, but if you combine it with things like stationary bikes, you can start having a great experience.
Yeah, you're exercising your body, working with your body. So we're talking to Dr. and Mrs. Future about the future. When we come back, I want to talk about the vaccine passport and the vaccine. I want to hear what the futures have to say about that. I'm Pharmacist Ben. You're listening to The Bright Side. We'll be back after this. Okay, we are back on The Bright Side. I'm Pharmacist Ben. We're talking to Dr. and Mrs. Future of the Dr. and Mrs. Future show on KSCO once a week. And you got archives and all kinds of, you can get on through KSCO, you can get the archives on that, right, guys?
Absolutely. 11 years, just like you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, yeah, we started probably about the same time.
We did, yeah.
So I want to get into this vaccine passport thing, but before we do, you kind of touched on this idea of VR, which I absolutely love, and you've been telling me about VR since I met you, and what it's going to do, and the more I study VR and the more I look at it, some of it, I wonder if we're not in VR.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, reality is virtual in a way. We're synthesizing it right,
yes,
in our brains. It's like just waves out there, and somehow it turns into our reality. So we are in VR in a certain kind of way, but when you do what you're saying, when you put the helmet on and you get on the bike, it kind of separates your mind from your body a little bit, so you can kind of see the distinction between the two, right?
Yes, yeah. You definitely become aware of the fact that you are in a different reality all of a sudden. You know, it's almost like in an altered state, but one, as soon as you take the helmet off, you're back to normality. It's a lot more controllable than drugs.
It's totally an altered state because your mind is entering into a different, it's an altered reality. It's entering into a programmed reality somehow.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. You begin to see yourself as a mind. You begin to see that you're really a mind.
Yes, and we were experimenting with some new programs in VR that really allow you to start combining your mind with other minds in very interesting ways.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll tell you about that more at some point. Yeah, so
is that already out there?
No, it's some experiments being done at Stanford and a university in Lisbon, in Portugal. We're part of a beta experimental group where you perceive each other as a cloud of energy, and you can move your cloud around. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Oh, come on. In VR, you put the VR helmet on and everybody becomes a cloud of energy?
Yeah. And then you can combine the clouds into one, you know, where you all feel like you are in the same body together. You know, it's or same mind together, I guess you might say.
It's, oh, my goodness.
It's a trip.
What does that do for your perspective in real life? Like, when you go home?
Well, you feel more connected with people. So in a sense, it brings a socialization that normally you would not experience where, well, you know, when you have a good conversation with someone in person, it can be like that, only they're far away and you felt like you've somehow been with them or held them in a way. You know, it's fascinating.
Yeah, for me, I felt like I had just come out of an ecstatic meditation with friends.
That's awesome. Is it because you lost your ego in a way, like your boundaries are gone? Like
well, it wasn't the loss of ego. It was the profound sense of being connected. The very thing that everybody in this COVID era is talking about is the sense of being separated. It was the exact opposite. It was a profound sense of being deeply connected to all life, just because you were in this space that had no boundaries, but your presence and other people's presence were mingling like clouds of dust. I mean, it was a beautiful experience.
Wow. Yeah, we'll send you some info on that. You. Yeah, it's called.
And plus, it was great music and a light show.
It's called the Anuma.
Tell me what it's called.
Anuma.
A-N-U-M-A.
A-N-U-M-A.
So what do you guys think about this vaccine passport? Using information, or even more broadly, the accumulation of data, of people's personal data, shapes, biometrics, that kind of thing. Does that trouble you at all?
Yes.
Very much.
Yes. Very dangerous, especially since it's probably not even necessary for better health. Vaccine can be abused as a form of control. We're very concerned about that.
And we're in an era where leaders are flagrantly violating laws. They're making up their own rules. They're going around the legislature. They're not interested in whether the Constitution allows it or not. They're not preserving our traditions. So it's for them to start proposing to attach things that are public rights and consumer rights, like travel, to this kind of arbitrarily closed-door decision to make people get vaccinated, when the injection itself is highly experimental, is an invasion of the right to informed consent. It's a very slippery slope towards a totalitarian manipulation of the public, and I strongly disagree with it.
And there are prophylactics we could use.
Sure. There's just taking care of yourself. How's that?
Yeah, for
that's
example.
The way.
Yeah, enhance the immune system. What a concept.
Yeah.
See, what a concept, right? You want to talk about high technology. Have you studied the immune system, the digital chemistry of the immune system? Because it is kind of digital chemistry. Chemistry is digital, by the way. Biochemistry is digital. It's not analog.
There's a department at MIT studying that that aspect of it. And it's a whole new way of thinking about the immune system that mainstream medicine has not yet adopted.
It's like an information processing system.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Processing. And it also is part of a larger ecosystem with thousands, if not millions, of other microbes that are part of its milieu, if you will.
Yeah, something that fascinates me is the idea that a virus is, say, 70 to 80,000 times smaller than a cell.
Yeah.
And a cell is a trillionth of our body. And yet, you know, the cells themselves are only a certain portion. And then the microbiome is like another portion of our body. And it's an ecosystem we barely know about.
Also, the virome. You have viruses that live in your body, like you have microbes. You have a microbiome, a mushroom, a world of mushrooms, or fungus, actually, in your body. You even have a parasitome. You even have a world of parasites. And we're a complete ecosystem that is so elaborate and complicated that there's no way even in thousands and thousands of years we could understand or figure it all out.
Yeah, I was talking to Paul Stamets about that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love Paul.
Yeah.
Is he Santa Cruz?
He was here for a debut of a film on mushrooms called The Fantastic Fungi. Amazing film, by the way. Fantastic
Fungi. I'm reading the book Fantastic Fungi right now.
You should go to the website. If you go to the website.
I'm reading it as we speak.
It's a great book. And the website that goes with it is full of the most amazing slow-mo photography of the mushrooms. Yes. It's beautiful.
Oh, they're amazing. Do you know they make computers out of slime mold? Do you know about that stuff?
No.
Slime mold computers. Slime molds conduct information or process information like a computer, slime mold cells.
Yeah.
Wow. And they generate electrical charges.
Wow.
And these huge organisms, fungal computers. Go ahead.
Sounds like Dune from Frank Herbert.
Yeah, I've heard of it in science fiction, but that's great to know. I'll have to send us an article.
Isn't that great to know?
Yeah, I'd like to know more about that. Now that's reality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they actually have them yet, but it's kind of like they're cooking with it. It's in the works because slime molds have this electrical property and they store information. And really, all cells do. All cells are digital. And there's a thing, you know about digital biology? You guys know about digital biology?
Generally, but you're probably talking about something specific.
It's an academic. There's digital physics, The world is the whole digital nature of things, and that gives us power to work with it. It's not just hypothesizing or, you know, just philosophizing. You can really have a lot of power over your body if you understand how it processes information and how it works with the digital, the on-off level, because that's choice, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, intent.
Right.
That's the power of intent, is based on the digital nature of everything. But we're not led to believe that because it doesn't look that way. Because our eyes dampen the spaces between the digits, so it looks analog, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like smooth and continuous. I think even Einstein couldn't handle that nature, this nature of reality as digital.
Well, the great thing about the future is the resolution keeps getting better.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm thinking that VR might be a way in which VR might be a way in which the digital nature of reality could be enhanced. You know, through.
You know
great
what?
Talking with you,
I
Ben.
I want to talk to you about that because that sounds interesting. I'm not exactly sure what you're saying, but we're out of time, Dr. Future. But I want you to hang on. Will you hang on the line because I wanted to say goodbye to you guys?
Sure. No problem.
Thank you. That was as invigorating as I thought it would be. Intellectually invigorating, Dr. and Mrs. Future, and their radio program is the Dr. Future Show. And you can get that at KSCO.com. KSCO.com. By the way, KSCO does an awesome job, and it's a super cool independent radio station with lots of good stuff on the air. KSCO.com. And that's all the time we have for today on The Bright Side. Thanks for listening, friends. I am Pharmacist Ben. Have a wonderful, beautiful, awesome, spectacular day. We'll talk to you later, folks. Bye for now. Hey, Dr. Mrs. Future.
Hey, Ben. Thanks, man.
Thank you. That was fun, but you were cutting out, and I had a hard time hearing.
Would you like us to send you a sound file? We did a recording on this end. Maybe it'll sound better.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure it probably sounds better on your end. It might have something to do with having both you guys on the line or something. In any case, the book. There's a book called Entangled Life by Merlin Sheldrake, where he talks about these slime mold computers.
Oh.
Have you heard of this book?
Yes, I've been reading it. It's fascinating. Sheldrake's dad was famous. But yeah, he's the one that got into the microbiome of the bacteria and such. That there's a whole ecosystem inside the bacteria's and viruses. Yeah.
Quorum sensing.
That's another level of it, too.
Quorum sensing. Yeah. That's amazing. Quorum sensing. The intelligence of these things. It's intelligence everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere is intelligence, wherever you look.
Yeah, and it shows you that we can
all... All right, love you, Ben. That was great.
These guys need the phone. I'm going to call you right back.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
We're here.
Thanks, Jason.
Hey.
All right, Ben.
That was so fun.
Yeah, that was fun. But you kept cutting out, so I was having a hard time hearing your pearls of wisdom. Son, you've become a real wise woman there, Sunshine. I mean, you always were, but...
Aw, thank you.
You're sharpening your mind there. Anyway, it's always a pleasure to speak to both of you.
Mm. You too,
and,
Ben.
Do you want me to send you any of the stuff on the fungal computers? Because it's in the book. It's in...
If I know where it is, I have that book, yeah, so I'll check that out.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle of the book there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, quorum sensing is pretty cool stuff.
Like yes.
Bacterial computers, they could be, you could use the whole thing. They are computers. They're all processing information.
Yeah, and maybe cybernetics is something that can be simplified enough to talk about on the radio.
Cybernetics.
Some of the basic principles, like maybe quorum sensing might be a way in which it could be incorporated more into our legal system, our political system.
That'd be a bill for a society that's more responsive to its members.
Yes, which is where it's going. I'm thinking that if we start utilizing more of the principles that our own systems work on in the way in which we connect with each other on a macro scale, that could be very beneficial to us.
For society, I'm seeing that in 1,000 years.
Really, that long? But even though biology is...
Yeah, I don't know, but it'll be, it's not, certainly not the 20 or 30 that I got left.
I don't know, Ben. Everything's accelerating. You'd be amazed.
Transition stage for a couple of decades.
Yeah. Well, maybe three generations.
And future generations, yes, future generations. Or if we get uploaded, maybe we'll get to enjoy it. But I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know. Have I told you that I think we're in the singularity right now? Did I ever tell you that? I believe we're in it right now.
I believe you.
Right?
That it's
right.
AI is driving everything.
Yeah, well, there you go. AI could change it really quickly. I've just been imagining if an AI ran for office, what would happen?
I know, right? But wait, don't you think AI is running everything right now? Algorithms are running absolute 100%, 0.00% everything is being run by an algorithm.
Certainly widespread.
You mean DNA?
I don't think there's any room. It's more than widespread. It's saturated. There'll be any room for non. Do you? Where can you find a place in reality where it's not somehow impacted or affected by an AI algorithm, not a human algorithm, nature algorithm, but a human algorithm?
Well, certainly it's affecting driving. You know, cars are rapidly becoming.
And it's like happening so freaking fast.
Yeah.
Like 2 years away, you're gonna have cars to drive, self-driving cars, like everywhere.
You know what else? I edited a book for a guy who is making an AI to create the carbon credit market. And he's literally modeling all the trees of all the forests in the world to figure out carbon offsets.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing!
Yeah, came to him on an ayahuasca trip.
That's why you create a virtual world. Information, you have a virtual world.
Well, but it's going to be a map of the actual world that's used for a virtual analysis of the world.
Yeah, but you'll see it in a way, like in an augmented way.
Right.
See it with your human sense.
Yeah, it's a digitized world.
It'll be a digitized world. Are you familiar with Tom Campbell? I'm sure you are. Thomas Campbell. He wrote a book called My Big Toe. If you don't, you want to really Google him. He talks about this being a complete AI simulation. Uh-huh. Everything. It's an AI simulation that's like a place for learning, like a school.
Yeah. Well, it could be. I've been reading this great recent issue of Astronomy Magazine about the beginning of the universe, and I personally believe that the Big Bang was the first digital creation, and it was this aha moment everywhere in the universe that then turned into, through interference patterns, all of the matter that we now enjoy. And that, you know, we're this like highly evolved form of matter that originally was like tinier than a quark.
And so we kind of blossomed outward, sort of.
Well, if you
blossoming.
All right, you know how somatics, you see the effect of the interference patterns on the surface of the water?
Cymatics. Cymatics.
Right.
That's cool.
So think of that as like one-dimensional creation force, but it's happening in three dimensions, and then when you add time in four dimensions, and the interference patterns basically go from something that's super tiny to all of the sacred geometries, and
that's
as those
unbelievable.
Yeah, and
yeah,
then they create
it keeps going
on octaves, on scalar octaves, harmonically getting bigger
infinitely,
and bigger and bigger
infinitely.
And so here we are, we're billions of years away from that first moment when the tiniest thing was just a
complexity is like it's incomprehensible.
Right.
For our monkey brains, for sure.
For our silly monkey brains.
Well, except that's God mind, and relevance
but
is
so far
personal.
Above us, you're just talking about it like metaphorically or analogously.
No,
but
I think
so
that's
above
the,
us to understand it.
That's
like
the singularity to me. That is the singularity, that moment created all that is.
Yeah, that's the singularity. Cool.
It is. And sometimes I feel like the Big Bang is still going on. Yeah.
I know it is. I was about to say time is just kind of this illusion because it's all happening at once.
Yeah.
We're in the Big Bang. We're banging right now.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, we're in the bang. It's not like it happened 4.5 billion years ago.
We're in the bang.
As we speak, we are the bang.
Yeah, that's it.
We're the living embodiment of the bang.
Bang on.
speaking of which, you know, a couple things. One, if you want to hang out with us in virtual reality, you know, the new Oculus Quest 2 is really quite an amazing piece of technology.
Okay. I used the Oculus when it first came out 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was not that impressive. Actually, even 3 years ago.
Well, try going to Best Buy and checking out the new one, because the Quest 2 is wireless, first for starters. It's like scuba in diving.
Okay. That's a plus.
Yeah, and it's got...
I had to have a whole new computer. I had to buy a whole computer for the last one.
Well, this one, you don't need a computer at all. It's got a built-in computer. And if you have a USB-C cable, you can connect up to the computer and get even more powerful programs. But it's got a lot that it can run just with its onboard computer.
And there's a lot of great content.
That's awesome. I'm going to go to Best Buy
and
check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
And then if I get it, how much is it, by the way?
It's
$299.
Yes.
That's amazing. And so for $299, we can all hang out in virtual reality?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there's some great alt space. Is a great hangout zone.
All right, I'm going to go check it out tomorrow.
A little interesting thing. The other thing is that we'd like you to be on our show sometime in the near future, probably next month.
Of course. Okay. I would be honored. You just say when.
Okay, I'll give you a...
Just give me a shout and we'll say when.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yes, it's always a total pleasure and invigorating, and what life is all about for me personally, to speak to Dr. and Mrs. Future.
Aww. Love you too, Ben. You are just
you're beautiful. Thank you so much hearts. For being my friends, and thank you for being on the bright side. And then I'm going to check out. I'll check that out tomorrow, and then you just stay in touch with me, and I'd love to come on your show.
Excellent. Awesome. All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right, sweetie.
See you guys later. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye. Lots of love. Bye. That was great. Bye.
Okay, lots of love to you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.